بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم. The point that we were discussing, that we should try and endeavor to learn the meanings of that which we recite. First, will be the tasbihat, etc., the thana, the tashahud. And just, if a person just ponders on the meaning of the tashahud in itself, what praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so to say, pouring your heart out to fulfill the rights of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and we mentioned that Hazrat recommends that we learn those that are not ulama, Miftah al-Quran, and learn the meanings of basic surahs and all the pronunciations in Salat, its meaning. So that is one level of concentration, that at least ponder regarding the meaning of what you are reciting. Whatever you are reciting, ponder regarding its meaning. That will be termed as concentration. اور ایک فائدہ اور ہے اگر معنی الفاظ کے جانے تو سب برے کاموں سے جن سے نقصان کا ایمان ہے بچے. So one other benefit besides it helps in concentrating if you know the meaning of what you are reading is that if you understand the meaning, then those things that are harmful for one's iman, what the Quran Kareem is telling you, then you will save yourself from it. So with this intention also, that even the Salat is a form of reformation in Islam for a person, that whatever meaning, whatever message of the Quran Kareem is there, that we take heed to that message. For example, on inheritance, one we're learning and listening to the ayat karima pertaining to inheritance, and our own will is completely contrary to Shariat. So to keep that in mind, that whatever lessons are being mentioned, to take heed, to bring it in our lives, whatever is harmful for our iman. اور معلوم کر کے جو اقرار اپنے رب کے سامنے کیا ہے اسی پر قائم رہے. One other thing is that we are making a number of confessions when reading Quran Kareem, and to remain steadfast in the confessions. For example, we read in Surah Fatiha every day, and in that Surah Fatiha, one very very serious and profound confession we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is our life outside Salat in conformity to the confession we have made in Salat? For example, we're telling Allah Ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we seek help from, and you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. So this is a confession we're making to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So how is it possible that immediately after Salat, our reliance are totally on makhluk, on ghayrullah besides Allah? A person will read Salat and immediately he goes outside and he begs. And one is made a confession, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Just to mention this point, on one occasion, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali from Pakistan mentioned that he had a close friend of his, an alim, very well learned, and he was reading Witr Salat. And in the Witr Salat, when it comes to Dua-i Kunut, the normal dua that we generally recite as Ahnaf, اللهم إنا نستعينك ونستغفرك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك ونثني عليك الخير. So instead of the dua, he was reading some other dua. So Hazrat found it very very intriguing that when this dua is impregnated with depth of meaning, and why is he choosing to read some other dua? So immediately after Salat, Hazrat asked him that while you are reading Witr Salat, I overheard you at the time of Qunut, you were reading another dua other than what we commonly read. So he mentioned immediately, he says there's such confessions there, And I feel so guilty that after making these confessions to Allah, how can I live my life contrary to these confessions? I'm telling Allah, Allahumma inna nasta'inuk. Oh Allah, I'm seeking assistance only from you. Wa nastaghfiruk. I'm seeking forgiveness from you. Wa natawakkalu alayk. I'm relying totally on you. After making all these confessions to Allah, how can I live contrary to these confessions? So I just can't even bring it onto my tongue. So in the same way, we should ponder that we're reading Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. But truly, if, for example, the worker in the shop is no more there, and he decides to leave, and what is the frame of our mind, and the woman, from now they're worrying about December, the maid is on leave for 2 weeks. Already her high blood pressure increases from now. And she's making fikr from now in July, as to circumvent that loss that might occur later on for the maid going on a yearly basis, annually for 2 weeks. Our reliance on insan has become so much in everything. And true freedom, when a person wants to experience true freedom, when his reliance is not on ghairullah, in a great extent we have imprisoned ourselves. Because we are not living according to the confessions we are making to Allah every day, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. And when a person wants freedom of mind, freedom of heart, then the one thing that will come into his life is tawakkul ala Allah zat. And as long as there isn't trust and there is reliance on everything else, you will be imprisoned in your own world. Whether it is the husband and the wife, whether it is even our own children, this is, we don't understand. We have this big feelings that, you know what, when they grow up, then they will repay us back in terms of khidmat, in terms of doing. No. No reliance on anybody else. Whatever we have done is mahad for Allah's sake, for only Allah's sake. We have no reliance on anybody else. And if a person wants to imprison himself, then he must have reliance on somebody. And the quicker you can come to this point, only dependence of Allah, and no makhluk, then you will find inner satisfaction also. Then, mashallah, you will sleep also well. If you think about why we don't fall asleep, one of the reasons is all the fears of the future comes in our mind. Because our tawakkul Allah zat is not there. So every day when we are saying, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Wallah, assistance is only from your sake. The whole world can leave me. But as long as I have you, I have everything. So Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. So whatever confessions a person make in his recitation, if he concentrate, then to bring his life according to the confessions he has made. Aur har ek talib iman ko laik hai ki haqeeqi namaz ko is taur par jane ki Hazrat Haq ne mujhko tamam paidaish mein behtar paida karke bari taqeed se waste hazir hone darbar ke 5 waqt isne mutlak diya hai. The one other way of understanding the salat, that you should understand it in this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, We have the opportunity to present ourselves in front of Allah. And we should understand the reality of salah. And Allah Ta'ala has created us from the best of creation. And with great emphasis, He has told us to come to present ourselves in front of Him. So when we understand that even it's it's all about thought. How do we look at salah? If we look at it, it's something to absorb, just a responsibility to absorb. It is to come into Allah Ta'ala's kingdom and take in from Allah Ta'ala's kingdom. It is fulfilling to certain extent from our side in our broken way Allah Ta'ala's right over us. Which way you look at it? It is a way of thanking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for all His bounties. So your perception of salat is so important. If you just think it is something to get off my shoulders and you'll come reluctant to the masjid, your walk will also be like that. And you see when people walk in to the masjid, and they walk in out of the masjid, and they walk into shop and walk in out of shop. Completely different. With that fervor in December, they awake early, they're having a bath so early, and there is a spring in their step because they know what they're getting back. And when we come from salat reluctantly, it's a responsibility. So to understand that this is a way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our broken way for the numerous and incountable amount of in'amat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors He has bestowed upon us. And look at Allah ta'ala, out of His kindness He has emphasized the importance of it. Because knowing full well, if we left it to our option, then probably we will have deprived ourselves of so much. Imagine, but Salat is a way of taking from Allah. Salat is a way of getting proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is a way of opening your heart to Allah. Salat is a way of expressing your inner thoughts and your inability and your disability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Confessing that He is the Almighty. It's all about confession. It is all about confessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah ta'ala did not make it farz upon us, what would our situation be? We wouldn't do that. So even as Allah making it farz is a bounty. And Allah even mentioning wa'id and admonitions for not participating in salat and giving us admonitions is out of the mercy of Allah, not out of the unkindness of Allah. Like for example, Hazrat gives an example to elucidate this point. He says, for example, a father, he wants to in his lifetime give out his inheritance. Now his one son is living in Port Elizabeth, one is living in Cape Town, one is living in Natal, one is living in Gauteng. Now he wants to give them. There's a purpose of summoning them to meet him. But at the same time, he knows that, you know, his one son in PE, if he just tells that, you know, I need you to come this weekend, he might just overlook it and just make an excuse on the phone that he's very, very busy, or he has some prior arrangement, etc. So at the same time, he puts a warning that if any one of you don't come, I will not give them in my lifetime anything or after my death. So why is he saying this? Because it's not that he's threatening them. He wants to give them so much that if he feels that unfortunately in their naivety they might not take full advantage and they might deprive themselves. So he puts a warning. In the same way with Salat, this warning of Salat is not as a punishment. This warning of Salat is because Allah wants to give us so much. If a person just understands that experience of Salah, how much Allah is prepared to give him. So Allah is warning him that if you don't come, then these are the punishments. So this punishment of Salat also, a person should understand it, that it is out of Allah's compassion, Allah's kindness. So one is that he has placed great emphasis. He has mentioned it is farz. And then the other ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given idhn mutlaq, general permission for each one. No matter a person has got iman in him, it doesn't matter what background he comes from, what color he comes from, what language he speaks, what financial background he has, everybody has got the same. For everybody the hukam, the order is the same, and everybody has got the same opportunity. It is not reserved for a few. For example, to get just a meeting with a local mayor is such a problem. Such arrangement, and you have to have contact, and you have to speak sweetly to the person. And that's if they give you. Then forget higher up the minister in our local provincial parliament, and then in the national parliament, then the executive members of the government, then the prime minister, the president himself. Such difficulty to get one appointment. Allah Ta'ala has given appointment to everybody at any given time. Even outside namaz time, if you want to come and show your thanks in an optional manner, you can perform salah. So this is such a great bounty which we have taken for granted. We have taken for granted. Those people in those countries where it is a crime to perform salah, they would understand the importance of this. Because it's a ni'mat that we experience, we don't even think about it, we take it for granted. So this idhn mutlaq that Allah has given everybody permission. Aur muhtaj aawar ke idhn ka aur ehsan mandi kisi darban ya nakib ka nahi kya. And at the same time, Allah Ta'ala has not made us indebted to any doorkeeper to come to the masjid. That we have to bribe somebody or be sweet to somebody, then only will they allow us in the masjid. Whereas we go to any government building, they will search you and they will see you at your best behavior. You shouldn't be doing anything that will offend them in any form, so they will deprive you from the meeting with the mayor or with the minister. Yet, no doorkeepers, and we have to seek permission and we have to be indebted to them because they allowed us the opportunity to have court with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So all these are Allah Ta'ala's blessings. Some of these previous countries that were the Russian republics, Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri went last year, and he made safar. And he mentioned that Uzbekistan, when they went, they found it amazing that even you're not allowed to go with the Quran al-Kareem there. If you do go with the Quran al-Kareem, then they will stamp it to see that you return with the same Quran. You can't give it as a hadiah to anybody else. And then even for the local people, the only contact with the Quran al-Kareem would be, it will be in a glass counter, that the Imam, when he feels, from time to time, he will open for the people to touch or to look at the pages. That is a connection with Quran al-Kareem. Even their salat, so difficult, because people wouldn't perform salat in the same masjid, because there would be people that would be checking on them, and if they frequent the masjid all the time and they go to one masjid, they will immediately label them as fundamentalist. They will be on a watch list. So very, very few people, even those Imam Tirmidhi, etc., masajid that were there, you will still find grass, the doors open, etc. Hardly anybody performing salah. No place for ablution or anything of that sort. So what a ni'mat. There a person is scared that he's going to be labeled a fundamentalist if he performs 5 times salat. And even if he does, then he has to make sure that he goes to different masajid. And then the company that they keep, what they don't associate with one another, going to a masjid, etc. Quran al-Kareem, the contact is of just of seeing. No more contact of the Quran. So these are in Ahmad, blessings of Allah we have taken for granted. So this is all, when a person comes to the masjid, try to contemplate that what ihsan, what favor of Allah, that such a private, although you are in a group, we are performing salat in a congregational form, but it's a private conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given me permission all the time to have a private conversation with Himself. اور ایسی نعمت عظمہ سے محروم رہنا اور وعدہ سخت عذاب کا سر پر لینا بری نادانی اور کمینہ پن ہے. One is, it's such a great blessing. On the other hand, one is, for example, there is a certain invitation in the family out of to show face. You know you're not going to enjoy yourself, but you just go. Because now probably it's a wife's family, she might feel offended that you go to your family side, you don't go to her family side, and you know the company is such that you're not going to even, it's not going to be very, very fulfilling experience. So reluctantly you go and you come back. But salat is completely different. It's not that an action that we have to do reluctantly. Allah Ta'ala is, we will read in front, that when a person turns his attention to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, immediately the mercies of Allah Ta'ala in their torrents fall on a person. If a person has that heart, and he turns his, the Qibla of his heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will feel the immense mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. So there is no deprivation, or you have to do something reluctantly. It is for our own benefit, for our own preservation, in terms of our heart, our mind, for our own security, it is in salat. So we won't, it's not a question of going reluctantly, but it's a ni'mat al-udhma, a massive ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't present ourselves, we'll deprive ourselves. For that Allah Ta'ala has kept punishments, so that out of our baselessness, because of being so base and being so childish in our mannerisms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept these great, great punishments, so that we take heed and perform our salat. بس اسی طرح عظمت نماز کا خوب سمجھ کر تمام آداب کے لائق قبولیت بارگاہ بادشاہ حقیقی کے ہوئے. And also this, we should also keep in mind that understanding that we're going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a great ibadat, and we should fulfill the etiquettes and the requisites of presenting ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also very, very important. Now today we see, unfortunately, sometimes you come to the masjid, you think you're on a football pitch. The amount of different keepers that are there and the different names that are there. We are not even aware as to where we are going. If you got an appointment with the president of the country, would you even dress like that? But unfortunately, for the masjid, those adabs are not kept into mind. When a person keeps this in mind, then his wudu also will be taken with total care. And he'll understand that it is an opportunity to present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you come on a Sunday masjid, to the masjid, sometimes you wonder where must you look, because the person is standing in front of you, he's coming with his keeper, he's coming with his bermuda, when he goes into ruku, his entire back is open, sometimes his posterior can be seen. No care. Because the importance of salat is not there. We wouldn't present ourselves in front of the the ministers and presidents of the country, but in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, total reluctance. So we should present ourselves with total etiquette to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Behre taharat, therefore wudu. Understand the beauty of this ibadat of wudu. That it is so to say that you are telling Allah, I'm cleansing myself in order to stand in front of you. Understand wudu in this regard. Pehle taharat aur pakizgi kare, yani wudu kare, aur jo hajat nahane ki ho ghusl kare. And those that have the need to take a bath, then they should take so. Whereas we look at our pious predecessors also, even sitting in the company of the sheikh, yeah, we are talking of Allah. Coming in the company of the sheikh, they would make sure that they take ghusl before even they come to his company. Out of respect and adab, that this is a person from whom I'm going to find Allah. And who he's going to show me the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of appreciation and etiquette, they would take ghusl. So then in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, minimum we make wudu, and if there's a need to make ghusl, and then also keep, when going through the process of ghusl, keep this in mind, when going through the process of wudu, that this is, in a way, my way of showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm making a physical preparation to stand in front of Him. Jaisa koi jab bacha ke darbar ke jane ka irada karta hai, pehle hamam karta hai. If a person intends to go to the court of the king, then he first takes a ghusl. Phir kapre pehen ke jate hai. Then he wears his clothes and go. And imagine if you have an appointment with even the bank manager. We wake up earlier and we see we are presented, how we present ourselves. And we'll ask our wife a few times, I look okay. You don't think too much spray, too little spray. But Allah, so if we understand it, then inshallah we'll present ourselves. So after this, Sufi Iqbal has mentioned the gist of the entire bayan. For some reason, we did not catch it. So he has just mentioned the most salient features of this first sabak. اول نماز کی اہمیت جس کو بار بار پڑھ کر دل میں بٹھانا ہے اور جس کے لیے حضرت شیخ الحدیث رحمت اللہ علیہ کا رسالہ فضائل نماز کا مطالعہ بھی مفید ہے. For the importance of salat, we should read continuously the importance and the virtues of salah. And one very effective book, kitab in this regard is the فضائل نماز. We should make mutala of it and try to keep in mind. One other thing is when we are listening to the virtues, it helps us greatly in concentration. If we understand, for example, if you read in 4 rakat, if you read the 12 rakat sunnat mu'akkada of the day, Allah Ta'ala has promised a palace for a person in Jannah. It comes in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, when you just, before you reading the 4 sunnats of Dhuhr, for example, if you're thinking this is an investment for a palace in Jannah, automatically your concentration increases. The one advantage is that your knowledge remains intact. One way of preserving your knowledge is that the knowledge that you have learned, to recap it and to bring it to the front when the appropriate time and occasion arises. The other benefit is it will give you tremendous enjoyment in that. But so now you're not just reading for Sunnat al-Mu'akkada of Dhuhr, you are actually building a brick and you are investing in your palace in Jannah. So everything like that. For example, you're making wudu. One is just to go through and then understand from the ahadith and mubarakah that the sins that you have committed with the different limbs of the body are washed away, are washed with the washing of the limbs of the body. So this is a way of purifying yourself. If you just keep this in mind, then you won't be talking to somebody else, but you realize this is a very spiritual experience that I'm undergoing in this moment. So to continuously read the fazail. And then also we have a common complaint in our houses that the children don't listen, etc. And what to do. But if you think about it, have we got the things in place in our houses to make it conducive for amal? We will complain about the discipline of the children, their ways, etc. But the elders are emphasizing that bring kitab ta'alim in each house. And we, as I mentioned previously, especially for ulama, etc., because we are teaching, we should not take it for granted that because we are in the service of deen the whole day, therefore deen will be in our house. Those are two different things. The effort of deen is two different things. So we have to make the effort of deen in order for deen to come into our house. We are making effort on others the whole day. For example, our students that we are teaching in the morning, we have got his classes, we are making effort on them. Then we've got session in the morning, we've got session in the afternoon. We come at home, we are tired. Now we have made effort on others. So we are expecting deen to be in our house with the effort on others. like we have made effort on them for to know their sabak in class, in the same way we have to make effort at home in the spiritual, on a spiritual level, for deen to remain alive in the house. So to have ta'alim at home is very, very important for the preservation of deen in our house. So one is reading Fazail al-Salat. And then Hazrat also explained earlier in Ramadan that don't listen with hirs, listen with greed. This is the one thing that is short in ourselves, which we prevent ourselves reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are sitting like we know everything, or we heard it before, or we heard it last year, and we heard it the year before. There is nothing new that is going to be dished out. We read the same salat every day. We read the same Quran every day. We read the same tasbihat every day. No tasbih, it doesn't change. Repetition, so that the awe and the effectiveness and the message eventually comes into our heart. Every day salat is not different. Dhuhr is every day 12 rakats. Fajr is every day 4 rakats. There is no change in transformation. The way we sit, we don't know when it will dawn upon us and the reality of it will come and will form part of our lives. So many things we have heard again and again, but it's still not in our lives. We might be quoting it and giving it in our bayanat, etc. Importance of certain aspects of deen. But it hasn't come into our lives as yet. And any person that sits with greed and with this hirs that I require it in my life, even if he has it in his life, he realizes that he hasn't got it to the mannerism that it is required, then he will get tawfiq of Allah. Anybody that sits reluctantly, and because even in ta'alim I heard this hadith, I've quoted this hadith, I know the Arabic of the hadith, they are only saying the translation, you won't get tawfiq. Dom, the second point. Sabse pehle is ko dul mein bar bar soche ke namaz ka hukam mere upar koi bojh ya tawan nahi hai. The first thought that a person should have, that this order of salat is not some burden upon me. It is not some burden that is placed, or some penalty, or some because of some ill deed that I have to do. Balki bahut bari ni'mat aur ihsan hai. But it is a great bounty and ihsan. Favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when you understand the virtue of it, the benefit of it, even in the Hifz class, for example, those that are teaching Hifz, many times we just go through the process of teaching Hifz without ever mentioning continuously the Fazail. In today's time, it is imperative while teaching Hifz that we keep the Fazail Quran of the Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi in mind and read every day one hadith to the students, so they understand what they are doing. And what is the virtue of this? And what they are receiving for the efforts they are making? Then their love for the Quran and Kareem will grow. Otherwise the situation will be that those that have become Hafiz will have the least amount of contact throughout the year with the Quran and Kareem. Because everything that is associated with Quran is hiding, crying, weeping, early morning, difficulty. They haven't understood the benefit of Quran and Kareem. Therefore, on a yearly basis, they just make for the purpose of Tarawih, they will get connected to the Quran al-Karim. So in today's time, it is imperative, whatever good amal, and don't use amal as a punishment either, especially in today's time, because they won't understand. For example, if you use salat as a punishment, to him salat is only a punishment. But he hasn't understood that salat is a means of drawing from Allah's pleasure. Salat is a means of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties. Salat is a means of expressing and annihilating oneself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't understand that. So when he thinks of salat, he'll think about his past experience, this is a punishment. Yes, if we utilize it in that way, but he understands the importance, because he has done something to ask him to read few rakat salat, like our elders used to do. But if he understands the importance of salat, then it's fine. But if he doesn't understand the importance of salat, and you just utilize it as a punishment, he will be reluctant to perform salat for the rest of his life. So we should understand it is no penalty, balki bahut bari ni'mat aur ihsan hai, but it is a blessing and a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, jiska shukriya ada nahi ho sakta. Salat is such an ibadat that we cannot thank Allah enough. Like we mentioned that the few basic shukr we should make daily. We have mentioned this yearly. At the same time, Hazrat says that on each ibadat of Allah, take out time to make shukr. Like we understand, la in shakartum lazidannakum. Even in salat, in order to get reality of salat, make shukr to Allah for salat. Wallah, what a ibadat you have given us. I can't thank you enough for such a beautiful ibadat, such a sublime, such a pure ibadat. So, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for so, the one is reluctantly, we're thinking, oh, if the first fast would have been on Monday. And you hear people saying that. But we haven't understood the reality of fast. They say we'll fast, but if it's Monday, if your hope is 29, not 30. Because we haven't understood the reality of it. Whereas we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sawm, for fasting, for zakat, for hajj. کہ اللہ جل شانہ نے مجھے ذرہ بے مقدار کو پہلے اشرف المخلوقات بنایا. Then اللہ تعالی, an insignificant person like me, he has made us from the best of creation. پھر اپنے دربار میں روزانہ پانچ بار عرض معروض کرنے اور اپنی حاجت پیش کرنے کے لیے حاضری کی بڑی تاکید فرمائی. And not only he has made me اشرف المخلوقات, the best of creation, with great emphasis he has asked me to place myself and put myself forward 5 times a day in his court and to ask of my needs. Why do you ask a person to that mention your needs? The reason is because you want to fulfill his needs. You give an application to somebody in order to process that application and to fulfill the need that the person has put the application for. So Allah is asking us to put our needs. This is sufficient proof to show that Allah Ta'ala wants to give us and fulfill our needs. So one is a person should just contemplate that despite his insignificance, his fault and his incapacity, Allah has made him ashraful makhlukat. And then with great emphasis Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has called him to his court 5 times a day and then given him an opportunity to ask of his needs. And then he has placed great emphasis in this regard. اور جب جی چاہے نفلوں میں حاضری کا انعام دیا ہے. And whenever a person desires that through nafal, Allah has given permission to all. So even if a person wants more than the 5, there is no restriction. It's not like some permission that you have taken from a minister, etc. And he says, we gave you an audience once, it's sufficient. We gave an audience twice. How many times must we see the same people? We have got so much other work to do. Allah Ta'ala is saying, come 5 times, and if 5 times is not sufficient for you, and you want to come more times, no problem, we have given Nafal Salat at any given time, you can phone to us. Or is, and like as it mentions, that according to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, there is no specific office hours, like here we have today our government offices 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock, and then when you go 9 o'clock, they're telling you they're putting their computers up, and then you have to wait for another half an hour. And then when you go at 4 o'clock, they're telling you they're shutting down. Well, by 3:30, they're shutting down already. So that already they come. They come. Then they've got tea breaks in between. Then they've got lunch breaks in between. And then so many, if you phone, then they ask you for English, press 1. For Afrikaans, press 2. For other languages, press 3. And then they tell you that you are 88th on the list. After all that process, they still tell you you're 88th on the list. Like you're going to stand and wait for that time. You just get fed up and put the phone down. Allah Ta'ala squad, mashallah. No, for English this, for Afrikaans that. And we are on lunch now, we are on tea break now. We are closing up, the computers. Every time you phone, the computer is not there. The boss is in the meeting. Permanent boss is in the meeting. What work he does is only meeting job. Wherever you go, the boss is in the meeting. Ya Allah Ta'ala, at any given time. Or is hadri mein kisi sifarish or darban ka ehsan man nahi banaya. This also. There is no doorkeeper that we have to be indebted to somebody, grateful to somebody for the rest of our lives. He given us an opportunity to present ourselves in front of Allah. اور میری طبعی و سستی جہالت اور خواہشات نفسانی کے غلبہ وغیرہ سے جو غیر حاضر ہو کر محرومی کا سبب بن سکتا ہے اس سے بچانے کے لیے سخت وعید اور عذاب کا اعلان فرمایا. This is also Allah Ta'ala's karam. We said, like the father, and we understood that example when he wants to give his children, he even gives a warning and admonition that if you don't come, you will be deprived. In the same way, these punishments for not performing salat is a great mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala understands our laziness and our natural inclination to be disinclined towards that which is beneficial for us. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has placed punishments and warnings for us. اب مجھے جان لینا چاہیے کہ اسی نعمت عظمہ اور محبوب حقیقی کے کرم سے محروم رہ کر اپنے محسن و خالق و مالک اور دنیا آخرت کے چار ساس کو ناراض کر کے سخت عذاب کا مول لینا بڑی نادانی اور کمینہ پن ہے. And I should also understand that this is an opportunity or that I take from the great نعمت of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and it is a bounty of this beloved of mine, and he has favored me for coming in front of him. And then despite all this, not to perform it is great lowliness on my behalf. That Allah Ta'ala has put everything conducive. Look at our times, the massages are ready, we just take it for reluctantly. We're living in a non-Muslim country, but anywhere in the country you travel, you'll find a masjid. What a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have taken it for granted. We can perform salat anywhere in the country. No restrictions, etc. No payment. You have to use a service of the toilet at the garage, we have to pay money. But here Allah ta'ala to present yourself in front of His court, there's no payment, nothing. Allah ta'ala has made it easy for all of us. So we should keep this all in mind and then perform salah. The next point, which is of regarding our subject of concentration, namaz mein dil ke huduri, jiske husur ka tarika to bayan mein wadi hai, ke koshish ki jaye ke namaz ke har rukun mein kam az kam koi lahza zarur huduri ka muyassar aa jaye. And when we're talking of concentration, it's got to do with the heart and the methods we have discussed already. But the minimum that each one, at least in each posture, to think of Allah once, that my Allah is watching me. This is one point that we can start up. When we stand in Qiyam, in the standing position, that my Allah is watching me. In Ruku, to purposefully bring the thought that my Allah is watching me. Or I'm bowing in front of Allah. Or when making sajda, I'm making sajda in front of Allah. My Allah is watching me. So at least in every posture to think of Allah once. Is huduri ki wadahat mein jo umur Hazrat Sayyid Sahib rahmatullah alayhi ne tahrir farmayi, and all those things that Hazrat has mentioned, what is this hudur? What is this concentration and devotion? What is this presenting yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Matlan, for example, apne aap ko apne Rab ke saamne jaane. One is that this hudur e qalb, this presence in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, presence of heart. So what thoughts a person should have? One thought, that I am standing in front of Allah. Minimum, apne aap ko apne Rab ke saamne jaane. That I am standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aur Rabbe Kareem ko apne haal par mutawajjih samajhe. And at the same time, this is one is that I have presented myself in front of Allah. And the other is to understand that Allah's total attention is towards me. This is such a great bounty. Like for example, if you go and meet a person of some rank and some awe that you have, you heard he's a very, very pious person, etc. So you underwent a journey to go and see him. And with this great love and aqidat and belief, you went. And unfortunately, when you made salam, he did not even look to you because he was busy with somebody else. And you feel flat within yourself. There was such fervor and such zeal, I went to present myself, but the audience that I was expecting, I did not receive. And it happens many times. I remember a group of youngsters that I encouraged them to go for a certain program. And I said, after the program, then go and meet the person who's giving the talk. MashaAllah, so they went. And they came back the following day. I asked them, how was your trip? So immediately said, Masa the Bayan was fantastic. But unfortunately, after the Bayan, when we were going to make salam, he didn't even look in our direction. We stood in the line for so long. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala's tawajjuh is towards you from the time you start salat. Not that Allah is unaware of what you are asking or what you are saying. In fact, till you don't turn your attention to something else, Allah will not turn His attention away from you. Allah's full attention is towards you while in salah. So one is this thought that my Allah's complete 100% attention is towards me at this particular time. Jo kuch zuban se par raha hai, uske maana ko jaane. So we are discussing what is this hudur e qalb. One is the first point we said that you should have this thought that you are standing in front of Allah. Second, that Allah Ta'ala's focus is 100% towards you at this particular time. Third is that whatever you are reciting, to understand its meaning. Agar mazmoon Allah Kareem ke ghussa wa itab ka ho, to dil mein khauf kare. If the subject matter you are discussing or you are reciting or you are reading is regarding Allah Ta'ala's anger, Allah Ta'ala's wrath, Allah Ta'ala's punishment, then have fear within your heart. So bring this fear. And this is very easy. We understand the word Jannat in Arabic is Jahannam. These are Arabic words that we use. Then while reading, then even when you just hear the word Jahannam, bring fear within your heart. اور جو مقام رحمت اور عنایت کا ہو دل ہی دل میں اس کے حضور کا تمنا اور آرزو کرے. And all those places of Allah's mercy, then have desire from within your heart that oh Allah Ta'ala, and you desire for those mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اور نفلوں میں مشق کرے کے دوران چاہے اس کیفیت کے حصول کے لئے آیات کو بار بار پڑھنا پڑے. There's also Sufi Iqbal has written, in nafal salat, in order to get this condition, then read the ayat again and again in nafal salat, so that the desire from within or the fear from within comes. Inshallah, we'll terminate with that. That just primarily the first lesson, that the fazail of salat, we keep that in our mutala, in our studies, so that the importance of salat and the virtue that Allah Ta'ala is going to give us, we basically have it in our mind all the time. Second, that don't take salat to be some form of a burden. Understand it is an opportunity from receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a way of thanking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the punishments that Allah ta'ala has kept for not performing salah is for our benefit, so that we do not deprive ourselves of this great opportunity. And the third is to understand what is concentration in salah, primarily that you bring this thought all the, in every posture of salah, that you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala's 100% attention is towards you, and whatever you are reading to contemplate on its meaning. And minimum is that when occasions of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah, to contemplate regarding that, where the subject matter is regarding the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have a deep desire to attain that which Allah ta'ala is speaking about and what has been addressed to us. Allah ta'ala gives us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.